So let's discuss a very relevant topic to Shabbos and Yom Tov related to moving muksa. So of course we know the basics that a person is not allowed to move anything that's muksa. Just to review, you're allowed to touch items that are muksa. It's a clear amount. You could touch a car, you could touch things that are muksa. You just can't move items that are muksa. But we know there are some heterim that a person is allowed to use something and move something muksa if it's tzarech l'makomo, tzarech l'gufo. If you need that item that to use the item, a hammer is muksa. If you need a hammer to open up a nut, if there's nothing else available, you're allowed to use that hammer. If you need the place, the hammer is on your chair, you want to sit there on Shabbos, you're allowed to move that item that's muksa. What's discussed is, after you use that item that's muksa, the usage is over, what could you do with it after that point? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Beitzah, it's describing what the halacha is of a Beitzah Shenolda B'Shabbos, which is what we've been discussing pretty much up until now in the Masechta. And the Gemara says that even though that you can't move a metalton also, the Beitzah is muksa, it's nolad, you could take another item, you could take a bowl and cover the egg to protect the egg from cracking. You can't move the egg, but you could take a bowl to put it on top of the egg, so or some other item. So Tosa says there's a klal. You can't move a item, even a non-muksa item. I can't use a bowl if it's for the purpose of a muksa item. I can't go to my cabinet, take out a bowl directly, and put it on top of the egg. Even though the bowl itself is a muksa, if my whole goal of using the bowl is for something that is muksa, then I can't even move that bowl.
Even with a
shino? For a shino, maybe, but let's avoid the shino. Let's talk about direct movement right now. So if I want the bowl to have cereal, to have soup, that's allowed. But to use a bowl for the only purpose of the egg, to protect the egg, that is taking a kli.
The bowl is not mukta at all.
Exactly. The din is you cannot take a kli unless it's for a davar hanital, unless it's for the purpose of something else that's metaltlin.
But when you said you could move something that's mukta for some other purpose, do you have to also do it with a shinoi or no?
No. If you need a hammer to open the nut, you need a hammer on the plate, you could do it directly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But now if I want the bowl, the sole purpose is for covering the egg, something else that's muksa, that's a problem. So Tosfos wants to know, so how in the world did I take the bowl from the cabinet to cover the egg? Isn't that a violation of that din of taking ein kli nital elul davar hanita? You could only use a kli for something else that's nital, that's movable, that is a muksa. So Tosa says it must be a case where I needed the bowl for some purpose, for the tzarch gufo. I needed to eat cereal, or I needed to, it was in my way. So once you're allowed to move the bowl in the first place, then I need to drop it somewhere. So where do I drop it? I could drop it right over the egg to protect the egg. But taking it initially for no purpose, for the purpose of a davar muksa, would be violation. Now it's very important. People think, the Mishnah Berurah points out somewhere, you're at your table, you're having a suda, and you're talking, singing, and you're playing with your silverware. That's a problem of muksa, actually. If you're not using it for a purpose, you're just playing around with the items, that's not allowed. There are certain items that are never muksa. Food is never muksa. Svarim are never muksa. So you can move those as you please. But something that's a kli, like a fork and knives, well, usually you think you could use it because you're using it for eating. But if you're just playing around with it, fidgeting with it, that is actually not allowed according to the poskim. So again, taking the bowl itself, just to take the bowl, is not allowed. To take the bowl just for the beta is not allowed. It's only when you initially took the bowl for a permitted purpose are you allowed to then drop it somewhere else over the egg to protect the egg. That's the din that comes out from Shulchan Aruch. Now, when it comes to carrying an item, you want to know, I'm done with the bowl, I need to bring it somewhere. So how far am I allowed to go with bringing the item? I mean, everyone agrees, if I have a bowl, I'm finished using it, I could bring it somewhere. So the postman talked about, let's say you're walking to go put it back in the sink. So you want to, you finish eating it, you're cleaning up the place, so you want to put it back in the sink. The post can talk about, do you have to go directly to the sink? Or let's say you stop along the way, you pick up something on the floor, you help your kid with something. How direct did it have to be? Do you have to really avoid having to stop? Or no, if you're getting your way from the table to the sink, you're allowed to make stops along the way. So this is a discussion the post can have. Again, how quick do you have to get to that makom where you have to drop the item? So the Prima Gadim writes in Simin Shin Ches, the person stops on his path, he can't continue to bring that bowl anymore. You have to go directly to wherever you're the destination without any interruption. But the fact that Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring this down may indicate we don't have to be so crazy about this. You get it to the destination, do the best you can, but don't make yourself crazy.
Even if it's a non-mukta item?
Yeah, because you have to remember that all kalim are potentially muksa. There are different levels. There are things that are against sifrei kodesh and food are permitted always. Then there are kalim shemlachto leheter. That ikar purpose is leheter, but even then you can only use them when you need to use them. Then there's kalim shemlachto leiser, which are items that the main use are for something usser, but they're heterim if you need tzarech legufo. So yeah, even a kelim shel machta leheter, you can't just move around as you please. There is, if just show you how strongly they talk about this, it's fascinating. There's a discussion in the poskim. Can you switch hands? I'm holding the bowl. I'm bringing it to the sink. Can I switch from the right hand to the left hand? Is that going to be a violation of having interruptions and bringing it to the sink? So they bring down from the Tosfos Shabbos in his Akda Psichel Simen Shinches that one is not allowed to move it from the right hand to the left hand, but the Sefer Tar Shabbos and the Shlomo Kluger, they all argue and say, no, that's already a bit much. You're allowed to go from right hand to left hand. Your right hand, you need some availability in your right hand, so you move it to left. Could be. It could be. So now this discussion is very important in and of itself, but also because it extends to another heter that many of us probably heard when we were growing up. Let's say you accidentally picked up an item that was muksa. You accidentally picked up a pen. You accidentally picked up a rock. So we're familiar, not perhaps from this Tosfos itself, but some of us were taught, once you pick it up, bring it wherever you want, drop it off anywhere. It was davar muksa, drop it off wherever you want. And that is not very clear. That just because you pick up a davar muksa, that you're allowed to move it at that point wherever you want. So there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear. This is number one in Simen Shin Ches. Very clear, the Shulchan Aruch says that kli shemlachto leiser. You have an item that's main purpose is for davar iser, mutil ataltal. So I want to be very clear in the different categories. It's always good to review the categories of muksa because they get confusing, but the more you review them, they become very clear. So this first kalim shemlachto leheter. That's things that's main purpose is permitted. A fork and knife plates would be good examples of kalim shemlachto leheter. Kalim shemlachto leiser are items that are actually kalim. They have to have a use, but it's an usser use. So a hammer is a keli; it has a use to it, but the main use is something usser. That's kalim shemlachto leiser. And then there's a muksa machmas gufo, which are items that are not even kalim. They're not even utensils to begin with. Those are the most muksa, and those are something like a rock. A rock isn't a keli, it's not a utensil. So it's kalim shemlachto leiser, kalim shemlachto leheter, kalim shemlachto leiser, and then there's muksa machmas gufo. There's another category we're going to get to, which are kalim muksa machmas chesron kis, where it's a keli, but there's concern of it getting damaged or the expense of it, like in Ismail, like a bris milah knife or a chalf, a shechting knife or a fancy expensive picture. These are kalim, but they're muksa, machmas, chesed, and kis because there's a concern it might get damaged. So those are four basic categories of muksa to always keep in mind. So before I get to your question, so we're right now in Shulchan Aruch talking about kli shemlachto leiser. A keli, that's a keli, it's a utensil, but the main item is for it's a purpose. So the Kaj read through the Shulchan Aruch first, and then we'll get to your question. So he says, this item, mutzla tatlo, you're allowed to move a keli shilmachtla iser if it's the tzorach gufo, if you need to use the hammer to open a nut, or if it's the tzorach makomo, it's in your way on the chair, you're allowed to move this hammer, but once you pick it up, you can move it anywhere you want. So I have a hammer in my chair, I could take it up. No shinoi. I could pick up the hammer, I could pick up the pen directly, and then I can move it to some other place. Once I'm allowed to move it, I can move it to some other area where it's in a safe keeping. Yeah, Ben.
So if you had a rock, before they had hammers that were made out of steel, they had hammers that used top of it, I mean, at least in the Flintstones they did, that the rock was on the top of the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
The rock was used.
Sure.
And so it's a... It, So the example you used of using a rock, that it's a that's a dumb issur. It's right.
Yeah. So that would be
if it was sitting on your chair, you couldn't move it. If it was sitting
right. So again, so that idea, your example of a hammer, there is a way to be mechin, to prepare even a rock before yantif. I could take dirt. I could take a rock. We saw the first Mishnah Maseches Beitzah. We didn't elaborate in the Gemara yet, but we spoke about the kisei adam on yantif, and there's dirt being prepared or not being prepared. So even though dirt is muksa machmas gufo, it's like a rock, if I was mechin it, if I prepared it beforehand, that would also undo its status of being muksa.
Right, but assuming you didn't know you were having that, you needed to have a walnut on yantif, or I mean on Shabbos. Can you take the rock and use a rock to
cannot. Exactly. It has to be prepared either as a kli, or you have to set it aside with certain rules. A hammer, because a hammer itself is a kli. It's a kli, but shemachtol iser. But if I need to use it for a davar mutter, so that's allowed. But to take an item that's not even a kli, that's a nothing, a dirt, a rock, that I cannot change its status on Shabbos. Has to be a kli to start off with. Now, on that dirt, since we brought it up, there are a lot of questions that come up with the bris milah. And I know, so I was going to get to this at the end, but since we mentioned it now beforehand, I spoke to our Pearlstein yesterday with regards to bris milah, because there are a few items that become problematic. The Ismail, the knife, is a kli shemachto machmas cheson kiss. We're going to get to in a second. But the other problem is the arla. Once you remove the arla from the bris milah this morning in shul, that arla is something muksa. So you have to drop it right there. What does he do with that? So the din is, once you pick it up beheter, you're holding a beheter, you're allowed to move it to where you need to. But now the question is, how do you get it from, you know, you're not going to leave it in the shul until after Shabbos. So what he says they do is, there's a din of, in general, putting arla in dirt. Put it in offer, that's the din. You leave it in dirt. You bury it of some sort. So what he does is, they prepare dirt from beforehand. They're making offer before Shabbos, so it's not muksa. Put it in a little, I don't know, container. And then right after the milah, he drops the arla into the dirt. You mekayim the din of putting arla be'afar. And then you're allowed to transfer it because it's in a kli that has dirt, which is ready prepared beforehand, and you're allowed to use the dirt now, move it, since it's not muksa anymore. Those are one of the concerns.
This kli is not muksa?
Which kli?
This small box.
No, it's not muksa, because you're making the dirt in it beforehand. The dirt, it does not have a status of muksa anymore. You had to use it for a certain purpose, so therefore it doesn't become a davar muksa. It doesn't become a bus.
And the arla becomes subsumed into the dirt?
Yeah, something along, like, you know, we spoke about buses, ledavar heter, ledavar iser. So if it has, you know, two items, one that's muksa and one that's aser, so then you're allowed to move it, depending.
Does it make a difference that it was for mitzvah?
No, some say it might make a difference. We'll get to by the isma, by the knife, how that. When it comes to arla, it seemed like that aspect isn't relevant. Rabbi Prosen had mentioned, I mean, Rabbi Prosen, by the way, he's a mole, a big mole in Farakwa. He comes here often to do milas. He said that, let's say you didn't set aside the dirt, so he thought it would be graf shuri'i. Graf shuri'i is, if I have garbage, garbage is muksa, right? I'm not eating the garbage, I'm not touching the garbage. But to have a graf shuri'i in my kitchen, it's going to smell, it's going to take away from my Shabbos, I'm allowed to move it. So he felt if you didn't have the dirt prepared, you had the arla sitting on the bima, so that's graf shuri'i, no one wants it there. So then you would have a heter to move it. So sometimes things that are muksa, if it's graf shuri'i, it's garbage, you can move it. On that topic, I've been asked this question a couple of times. You know, sometimes people are not so sensitive with leaving their tissues around. In general, they blow their nose and they just leave it on the table and then that's it. And no one wants to touch that, so that's disgusting. People should obviously clean up their own tissues. But let's say even your own tissue. Let's say you blew the nose and you left over there, and afterwards you're going to plan on cleaning up all the tissues afterwards. So now, is that a problem of graf shuri? If I blow my nose and throw it in the garbage, that was a davar heter. I can move it to the garbage. But I left the whole pile at Shabbos now. Now that's disgusting. Even my own tissue are disgusting. Can I pick them up and remove it? So the answer is yes, because it's graf shuri'i. It's garbage. No one wants to see your dirty tissues on the table in shul, even in your own house. That's a heter to move something that's graf shuri'i. And as we go through the Masechta, we'll learn more about this concept of moving garbage. But right now we're talking about items.
So that's the excuse why people don't take their tissues off the floor?
No. May the very machmir muksa, yeah.
People walking by don't pick them up. Because it's really not graf shuri'i for them. So they
possibly dan lekav schus, or just they lack basics and derech eretz. Okay. Fine.
It's better with peels to put them on a plate, right? Rather than, right?
Yeah, on the plate where there's food already.
There's food.
You're moving it for the food and not the peels, exactly. Let's take a look at number two now. We've been talking about something where you took the item up initially for a certain tzorech. But let's say you did it accidentally. So the Magen Avraham writes in number 2, this is found in Simon Shinches, he says, venerally, the afilu shachach v'nala b'yadu, if you accidentally, you made a mistake, you picked up the pen and you took it on Yontif, on Shabbos, rashai l'taltalo yoser. You're allowed to take it at that point wherever you want. And that's a big jump. We're talking about where you picked the item up for a mutter purpose. The Magen Avraham says you did it by mistake, for no purpose. You were shachach, you forgot it was Shabbos, you weren't paying attention, you were misasek, you were just going about your business and you picked up the pen accidentally without thinking. Says the Magen Avraham, you're allowed to pick it up at that point, move it to wherever you want. So this is not so clear, however. The Gra argues on this Magen Avraham, and he thinks if one picks up a muksa item accidentally, and he wasn't supposed to, he must drop it immediately. So where do we find this Gra? So number 3, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case which itself requires a whole shir, but let's say a guy forgot his wallet. On Shabbos, he left his money. I get this every so often in shul. I accidentally brought my wallet. What do I do with it? My car keys in my pocket. What should I do with it? I have Israel take it. I drop it off somewhere. I kicked it to the side. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's a person forgets his wallet on Shabbos, if he's in his house, he's allowed to walk to a room with it in his hat, within his pocket, and then he could just undo his belt, he could empty out his pocket and let it fall to some safe place in his house. If he's already outside, he can't go back home, he can't carry it, it's a place where there's no Erev, he has to just undo it wherever he is and just tell some goy to please watch it for him. So in this discussion, the Ber Gra says that, they bring a raya from the Gemara here that if a person forgot it, you're allowed to continue to carry it in your house. So again, forget the Erev issue. If there's no Erev issue, you're allowed to carry it wherever you want to apply place it safe. So the Gemara says, I don't think this is correct. He says it's incorrect. The only time you're allowed to carry a muksa item is once you picked it up, b'heter. But he says, if a person picked it up by mistake, so then it's usur to continue to carry it. So the Gra would say, if you found yourself in your house, you find yourself in the shul, and you realize you're carrying your phone, your wallet, or something, the Gra would say you have to drop it right away. You can't bring it to the upstairs closet or classroom or to the co-closet. You're in shul, you drop it right away, says the Gra. You can't carry it any further. That's the din of the Gra. While the Magen Avraham says if you picked it up by mistake, you can carry it wherever you need to, the Gra says you cannot carry it, and you must drop it wherever you are. So this is it comes up pretty often. I get this question. Someone in shul is carrying something he shouldn't be carrying by mistake. What do you do with it? Yeah.
Is this different for each of the categories of muksa?
So we're going to get there. We're going to get to that. Right now we're talking about just a kli, all muksa, and we're going to break them down in just a second, the different categories.
What about people who are on security that are coming off of ship? They don't necessarily need their pen or their phone or their...
But that's bedavar heter. They were allowed to carry in the first place,
beheter. The question is, I'm not asking about... that they were carrying it, but had to. But now they're coming off ship. They no longer need it, and there's no other ship that they're going to take later.
The same thing,
now
because
can you walk to a specific area, if you will?
Yeah, sure.
And then put your phone.
That's the case of the hammer, where I pick up the hammer at Beheter. I use it for the nut. Now I don't need it anymore. I don't have to drop it. That's where I'm allowed to carry it wherever I need to. So the people in Muksa, the people on security, who have every right to carry whatever they're carrying, so that's Beheter. Once they're finished, they could take it to the next safe place, wherever they need to take it to. Yeah. Say it again.
Gra would say you have to drop it.
The Gra, no, because the Gra agrees if you took it Beheter, you picked it up in a permissible way, then he agrees you could take it wherever you want. This case where you accidentally picked it up. We picked up the phone by mistake. You didn't realize you were wearing the wallet, having the wallet in your pocket. That's where the girl says, drop it right away. Magen Avraham says, no, bring it to a place that's safe. Aria, another question?
So your intent is important.
Exactly, very important, yeah. Aria, do you have another question?
No, I just want to figure out which cases.
Okay, so we're going to get to that just in 2 sources. So let's just read where the Mishnah Berurah says, even though the girl is machmir, he thinks that the girl would be mekel bedavar hefsed. If there's going to be a loss of money, even the Gra, he thinks, would be lenient to allow you to carry it to a place that's safe. So this is very relevant for those people who come to shul with their wallet by mistake. So the Gra says, drop it. So now you're going to leave your wallet. Now, no one's really going to take it here, but you're going to drop your wallet off in the shul in the Beis Knesses. You don't want it to get lost. You don't want your credit cards being stolen. So in that case, you're allowed to, even the grower degree, you could carry it in your pocket. In the pocket's even better, actually. But you could walk to a place that's safe and then empty it out somewhere where it's secure. Put in the shender. You can even put in exactly. You can even put in the shender if need be. Put it someplace that is safe.
It's got to be a limit on the distance, no?
Limit on what?
The distance.
The distance. No, there's no limit. They said.
I mean, if you're walking to shul and you notice you're
right.
Walking back
2,000 almost.
Right.
You could bring it the whole way.
It's a good question. They don't talk about how far. They say it makes sense wherever you could put in a place, the closest place that is safe. So that would be the place to leave it. If a guy, let's say, is uncomfortable leaving in shul, a guy is very neurotic about leaving his wallet in the shul, so then for him, perhaps a makom mutzna, a safe place, might be in his home.
Like
so,
turn around, come
but
back
I thought you
right. On your way to shul and go home. And
right, there might be,
you
but
you have to like leave it in the bushes where no one will find it or something.
Yeah, that can be makom mutzna. But for me, if I'm uncomfortable leaving my wallet over Shabbos and it's going to make me crazy, so it might be considered a heter to carry it to a place where it's safe. Again, I think most people, no, I don't say most, some people would be fine leaving it in the behind the bushes, no one finding it, and some people won't. So it might depend on the nature of the person and the nature of the place.
What's the logic in terms of the Gra's difference between walking around inside your house versus...
The Gra seems to argue in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gra would say even in one's house. The Gra from time to time argues in the Shulchan Aruch. And it sounds like he's arguing here as well and says, if a person's in his own house, he should drop it right away.
I mean...
Even in his own house.
Yeah.
No, he says, Tiltul Beheter, so he says you can move in your house, but not outside your house.
Because that, but outside the house, there's a concern of Hotza issues, a case where there's no Eruv. That was the concern.
It's interesting that he brings that down here when he's talking about Muksa, like it's totally separate.
No, because the Shulchan Aruch was talking about made that same distinction as well. Yeah. Okay. So now, Ari was asking before about which type of muksa are we even describing, and that's where the Berlacha comes into play here. If you look at number 6, the Berlacha distinguishes between different types of muksas. And he says the only discussion of a person allowed to carry a muksa item when he picked it up is only when there's a kli, when there's a Torah's kli alav, when it has a kli, kli shel machtel iser, so a wallet, for example, is a kli. It's a utensil. It's a vessel. It has some purpose. So that's where there's a discussion of if a person's holding that kli, you're allowed to carry it to the next place. But if it's a davar, muksa machmas gufo, such as rock, such as money. Money is not a kli. Money has a purpose and has value to it, but it's not a kli. You can't call that a kli. So money or rocks, which have no kli, no davar, no heter to move it, there, the Ber Lacha Paskin, the one should not carry it if you picked it up accidentally, and you should throw it right away. So again, if you again find yourself holding a wallet's called a kli, you find that carrying it accidentally on Shabbos, that kli, the Ber Lacha says you can take it to a place. But let's say you have some loose cash in your pocket, that's not a kli. There, the Ber Lacha would say you have to drop it off right away, as soon as you can, drop it off someplace nearby. And then the third category he mentions is the Ismail, the Mila knife, which is a Muksa Machmas Chesun Kis. So there he says as follows. The only time you're allowed to carry something when you pick it up accidentally is when there's some type of intrinsic heter on this item. So a hammer. So a hammer, since there are times I could use a hammer to open up a nut, so when I pick it up accidentally, since it's on the spectrum of being more mutter, I could continue to carry it. Rocks are never mutter, so therefore I can never carry the rocks. So muksa machmas chesun kis, I typically can't carry. I can't move a butcher knife on Shabbos. There's no heter to carry a butcher knife. So even though muksa machmas chesun kis is normally very muksa, and one would say if I pick up a butcher knife, I should drop it right away, forgetting issues of sakana right now, of being around children. That's another heter. But if I pick up a muksa machmas chesun kis item, I have to drop it right away. I can't hold it to it anymore. When it comes to a Ismail, when it comes to a Mila knife, there's a heter. There's a heter because what would happen? What's the mole takes his knife very seriously. And he doesn't want it to break. So there might be a concern if you don't let him carry it when he finishes the bris mila. So you might not want to do the bris milah in the first place, and therefore, because of that risk, there's a special heter when it comes to the knife of the milah that you're allowed to use it even after one has done the bris milah. But by other items of muksa, machmas, ches, and kiss, one should drop it right away, just like something that's muksa, machmas, gufo. But the whole heter of carrying something when you pick it up accidentally, according to the Bar Halacha, is only referring to a kli shemlachto le'isser, such as a wallet.
So the issue of it, whether it's being used for a mitzvah or not, doesn't come into play.
Correct, exactly. The davar mitzvah, that is irrelevant because that's why we're allowed to use it. The concern was if you don't let the mole move his knife afterwards, he won't do the bris milah in the first place. So that is a tzarach mitzvah, which gives a certain heter for using the knife after. Exactly.
If someone has cash in their pocket, and they know they have cash in their pocket, and it's not in a wallet, to take out the cash at that moment means going into your pocket, grabbing the cash, which itself is muksa.
Right.
How does the person go ahead and do that?
Right. So it's a way to kind of pull out your pocket, kind of move it, shake it out in such a way, do the best you could, pull a pocket out, and along with that comes the money. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. There is another heter which we have to discuss. There are two other heterim here. There's one heter of something that's called tiltum minatzad, which is carrying indirectly, which might be in the pocket, might be considered tiltum minatzad, which have heterim. And there's also tilta bagufa, which is moving not in the regular way, like a shinoi, not carrying them, but kicking. So let's say you have money on the floor, so then you don't want to leave the money there. So then there's a heter to kick it somewhere else, where it's more in a place that's safe. Now, it's very clear the poskim talk about when using the heter of tilta bagufa, moving other parts of the body that are not typical, using your feet to kick things, we can't just move things around without any purpose just because it's there. Has to be with a certain tzara. So if I have cash in my pocket and I leave $100 on the floor, I don't want to leave it here. I don't want to lose money. It's not covered for the shul to be in the hallway. So there, the heterim to kick it around to a place that no one has to see, in a place where you could take it after yontif. So that is a heter of moving muksa items to a place that you could get it, retrieve it after Shabbos is over.
Is that only on your money or if you find money?
It's a good question. I would imagine it would be on both. Let's say you know whose money it is, so that's Shavas Aveda. So that's another aspect of Shavas Aveda. And if it's in a place that's in a shul where it's not covered, they have money flying around, so that would also, I imagine, for the cover of the shul, you could probably move it maybe even more directly. I'm not sure. But let's say it's money that's Hefker. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud.
In the street.
Right, so you don't know. So I'm just wondering right now, are you allowed to... you can't acquire that money on Shabbos. You can't pick it up, certainly not. So now you're moving money. Now, you don't own the money. By you kicking money, you can't acquire it because you haven't picked it up. In order to acquire loose money, you have to do hagbah. So you haven't done a hagbah. So you're kicking around some money that is ownerless. Is that permitted? My guess would probably be not. Probably not permitted. That's what I would guess, but I don't know for sure.
Depends how much it is.
No, you want to do a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda, maybe.
But you don't know whose it is, only if you know whose it is.
But you'll try. You can announce.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe. It could be. Maybe. Okay. Now, there is an interesting raya that proves the Gruz point about not moving things that are muksa. There's a big discussion. We know when does Shabbos begin. Does it begin with Halakas Neros, or does it begin with saying Baruch Hu or Mizmor Shir? So that's a big discussion that's found in the Shulchan Aruch. We normally assume it's Mizmor Shir. Yom HaShabbos is when Shabbos begins, but for the women, it's when they light candles. Now, it's important to note when the women light candles, it does not mean that the B'nai Bais, the rest of the house, has to start keeping Shabbos as well. That's very clear in their Ramah, just as a side point. But once she lights the candles, Shabbos begins for her. So she can make a Tanai, that I don't want Shabbos to begin with my halakas neros. That's not a tanai we like to use often unless there's a great need. Oftentimes women are going out for a meal, they want to light but drive to the place, so can she make a tanai? It's something that we really discourage unless necessary. So the moment she lights, so now it becomes Shabbos. So what do you do with the candle? What do you do with the match? She lit a candle, she lit a match, she's holding it. Now she can't put it out now. It's Shabbos for her. What's she supposed to do? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that she's supposed to just throw it on the floor, and then it goes out on its own. You just drop it, and eventually the match burns itself out, and then that's fine. So the Rabbi Kiviger says, why should you throw it down on the floor? Why can't you put it somewhere else that's safe? Why can't you bring it to the sink or something? I don't know. Because the Rabbi Kiviger says, the moment it becomes Shabbos and it's muksa, you're not allowed to schlep it anywhere else. Once you pick it up, you can't carry it anywhere else. Now this is a chiddush because she picked up beheter, right? She kept beheter, she had every right to pick it up. And the problem was that when she picked it up, it wasn't Shabbos yet.
Right.
But now it's Shabbos, but she can't light anymore. So it becomes now a different element. Let me break down. I broke down categories before. I'm going to expand one of the categories. We have kli shenlachtel heter, a kli shenlachtel iser, machmas gufo, and machmas chesron kis. Those are four categories we discuss. Kli shenlachtel iser, though, is actually broken to a high level or low level. So there are certain items that are mlachtel shel iser which never have a heter purpose. A hammer is kli shel mlachtel iser, but there's a way I could use it to break open nuts. But a lit candle, there's no mutter use I could think of. Well, what mutter use can I use for a candle? There is no heter to ever use it.
The candle or the match?
The candle. The candle that's lit, or even a match, either one, both of them. These are items which never have a heter use. There's no heter use I can use for a candle. I can't use it to burn something. It's a violation. So that's a very high-level kli shemlachtu le'iser, which would be in the category of a rock, of a non-functional. It's a useless item on Shabbos. And therefore, since a match or a candle, whatever the case might be, is a kli shemlachtu le'iser with no heter to use, that's why everyone would agree you have to get rid of it right away.
Unless you need that candle for light for another room.
You still can't move it on, you can't move it. It's a good question, that's a certain heter, but that's not using the keli itself. It's not using the candle itself. You're using some light, some fire of it. We don't move candles on Shabbos, but...
Can you move candles?
You can move candles on Yantav, yeah. But there's an interesting question. Yeah, you want to follow up on that?
No, it's different, but I was in so you light first and you say a bracha after, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman lights, she has a candle in her hand. It's not, is it when she lights it Shabbos or after she has the bracha?
Great question.
Because if it's after the bracha,
yeah, I was trying to figure that out.
After she lights all the candles, so then Shabbos is ready.
Even before she says the bracha.
Right. Yeah. Because then there wouldn't be an issue with this at all. Because then, if she lights candles, she could put it out. She could blow it out even if she wanted to. And then she could say the bracha. But the fact that we don't say she could blow it out, rather we say Shabbos begins for her. So the moment she lights all the candles she plans on lighting, then Shabbos has begun for her.
What should she do with the match?
So I believe they just drop the match on like the metal tray and it just goes out on its own. Oh, they do, yeah? I know that. The women should be lighting the candle.
But if he lights it for her, then she doesn't...
If the man were to light, let's say a man is lights in the house, which shouldn't be the case, though. If a man's married, the woman should be lighting. But let's say the man is lighting, he's on his own. He's either single or he's traveling on his own. He lights the candles. Then Halakha's Neros does not begin Shabbos for the man. For the men, it's Mizmar Shir that begins Shabbos, even if he's lighting the candles.
My wife lights with a candle. Like lights a candle, uses the candle to light the other. She puts the candle in another.
That works.
Holder
for sure. This is a great way to avoid that issue of lighting a candle and then the candle's what's being lit and then just put the candle down afterwards. Mm-hmm. That would be.
Why is that different than a match?
Because a match is no place to put it really. You can't like hang it, you can't like put it into one of the holders, you have to just drop it somewhere, you can't bring it somewhere else. But here you're already standing there and you're just situating it into its place, so that would be permitted. There, I just, as an aside, I wasn't planning on going into this, but there is an interesting, I guess we'll stop after this because we have to davening it soon, but there is an interesting din by a candle that's not lit. A not lit candle, is that muksa or is that not muksa? What would you guys think?
I think it's a muksa.
Yeah? Okay. Kli shemachtel iser. So it's a kli, right? It's a kli because it's a function. It's like a hammer. It's a function, but I can't use it. I can't use a hammer. Purpose for next week, maybe. But not this week. So it's actually machlokas between the Magen Avraham and others whether or not it's a kli shemachtel iser with a davar heter to it or not. What would a davar heter be? So their heter would be, let's say, I've had this question a couple times, they want to bring out a birthday candle for whoever it is, a birthday cake and a birthday candle for someone's birthday on Shabbos. Are they allowed to put candles in without being lit? Put candles in without having to light. That's a kli, shemlachtul iser, but it's being used for a dover heter. So it depends how you view the category. Some view candles as having non-purpose, and it would be us, it's like a rock. Others say, no, it's a kli shel machtel iser, which has a certain heter to it. So there is a, if need be, if one really wants, if the children really want a candle, like he's turning three, she's turning three, I'll put a shape as a candle, not being lit, that might be decorative and perhaps permitted to be placed on Shabbos in the cake.
Is there a real purpose of candles?
As decorative, it might be.
Are we not worried that somebody will forget himself and light it?
I don't know. I don't know.
We see that with other things, like eating chicken.
Yeah, but we don't want to make zeros. We don't make zeros unless the chum make zeros. I don't think there's a zero like that. I didn't see that. The postman didn't bring that in.
Dropping match. Is there a difference putting it down versus dropping it, or we're just talking about you're not supposed to walk away with it?
Yeah, I think putting it down, you don't want to chas v'shalom start a fire, but to be smart about things, don't like throw it. But you can put it down in a safe way, which would be fine. Another interesting din, I told you, Mila is an area where a lot of questions of muksa come up. So, one second here. Oh, so they talk about, the poskim talk about, after they've done the mila, so then what do you do with a knife? So you put it into a place that's safe. So what about, let's say I have a bag. The mall comes like a big bag, and there are items there that are mutter. He's got some svarim in there. He wants to drop the knife into this bag. And now could he carry that bag elsewhere because there's svarim in it? Or now that he put the knife in there, which is machmas chesam kis, does a whole bag become usr? So the Rishon Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that he says he did not like placing the knife in the bag and then moving it, the bag, because there's svarim in it. He thought a person should put the knife somewhere away and not carry it at all on Shabbos. But Rav Yashiv and others say no, that the mole is allowed to drop the knife into the bag, and since there are other items in the bag, it becomes a basel davar. It's a davar heter, and since there's svarim in there, or whatever else might be in the bag, you're allowed to carry it even after the knife goes in there, and that's the heter. Prosen said the heter is to put the knife in the bag, and you could go ahead and carry the bag with the other items to wherever you need to on Shabbos. Let me just finish up, because the last point I want to make here, I think davening's downstairs today, those are davening. It's a bris. So the din is, some molim or makbid, that you appoint them to be shliach. You remind them to be shliach, because really the mitzvah of mila is on the father. So you really shouldn't give it to anyone else, but we're not capable of doing a bris mila, so we give it to the mole, but you want to appoint him. So oftentimes you give him the knife, and here's the knife, you're being reminded of you, the shliach, and he takes the knife and he does the bris mila on behalf of that via ben. So now, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Can the father take the Ismail? Can he take the knife and hand it to the mole? Or is that considered an unnecessary movement of a davar that's muksa? So they bring from a sefer here that in the sefer called Kores Bris, which is about a bris mila, that on Shabbos a person should not do this. A father should not hand it over because it's unnecessary movement. You don't need to give the knife to the shliach. To the mole, you could just say, I'm imanah you to be the shliach. You don't have to actually hand the knife over. But, Rabbi Yashiv says, since the practice is, in many places, is to give the knife to the mole during the week, it becomes a component of the bris mila, and therefore, even on Shabbos, one is allowed to give the knife, the Avi Ben could take the knife, the Ismail, and hand it over to the mole in appointing him to be a shliach and performing the bris mila for his child. Okay, we'll stop here.
Rabbi, you said you have to